You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Singer, campaigner and activist Lachie will be familiar to many listeners, but now you've got the chance to get to know her on a deeper level as she prepares to release her book, I Identify as Blind, a brazen celebration of disability culture, identity and power. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now by Lachie. Thanks so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio once again.
Hey, hey, hey. Really excited to be here. Always a pleasure.
Well, congratulations on the new book. You've been a disability activist for a long time. What made now the right time to sit down and write the book?
Well, I'll first say that activist might be quite a strong term. I feel like there's people out here activisting a little more than I am, and I learn from them every day. I just like to let people know, listen, I'm a singer. I'm an entertainer. I love to make music. I am a presenter. And I have a disability. And because my disability is so front and center, my blindness, it makes me an educator. Like by default, people come up to me and they ask questions or they do something off color. And, you know, it does fall to me to be one of the first people that they see or hear or interact with to give them the sort of guidance on how to, I don't know, not, you know, do it wrong or not be a jerk or whatever. So why this book? Why now? I feel that as a person who loves pop culture, who loves music, who loves storytelling, who loves fashion, I feel like we don't have a book out there that talks about disability in this type of context. So for example, we have books about the history of music culturally, let's say the history of the Beatles and how they influenced, you know, how Abbey Road is so historic, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't we have that as it pertains to disability? Who are our heroes? What has disability done in the past that has affected art, innovation? Who are the trailblazers of today, the innovators of today? Who are the actors and actresses of yesterday and now that we can look to and say, oh, wow, that is my ancestor. Those are the people who came before me and shaped the world. That's what this book does. I do it using humor. I do it using interviews with some of the most amazing trailblazers and pop culture figures that have a disability, neurodivergence, or a chronic condition, some of whom are my friends and some of whom are ridiculously awesome humans that are politicians, etc., that I was able to get my hands on. But the book also historically looks at how disability has affected society and the way we think and the way we move and how we've innovated throughout the past. And so essentially, this is more of a pop culture book. Yes, I use a lot of my own story of trying to navigate becoming a successful artist as a woman of color with a disability in America. But I also use a bunch of stories that are untold that I believe people should know, heroes that I believe people should know, and have a good time reading. We've got corny jokes. We have rap bars. I try to make it so that people are having a great time reading this book.
And the title itself is very powerful. I Identify as Blind. What does that mean to you?
It started out when I would do these interviews as I was kind of coming up. So throughout COVID, I really started to get on some bigger platforms. And one of the bigger ones was there was a show called PBS Historians Take. And by the way, during COVID, for whatever reason, I was just getting a lot of inquiries and I was saying yes to everything because I was like, oh my God, people know who I am right now. Let me just say yes, 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 yes. And one of the big yeses I said was to PBS Historians Take. They essentially, this show is a series that goes in and kind of, you know, looks at interesting takes on history and then brings in experts to talk about it. And one of the episodes was about the trope of the Black blind musician. And of course, they brought me in, me being a Black blind, I was definitely just the trope, right? So I came in and I was really excited. We talked a lot about Ray Charles. Of course, we talked about Stevie. We talked about Blind Tom Wiggins, which was a Black blind musician from the 19th century that really kind of paved the way for that idea. And we had a great conversation. But to start off my segment, I had said, my name is Lachie, she, her, and I'm a Black. Well, actually, I said, my name is Lachie, like Versace, I think. I think I said like Versace. She, her, and I'm a black woman with cornrows because I wanted to give my self-description. And I said, I identify as blind. Now, I didn't used to always say I identify as blind. I had, when I first started looking through how I wanted to introduce myself as the superstar I was going to be, I started looking for other disability influencers, disability thought leaders. And I stumbled upon one of my first blind influencers that I'd come across. And her name was, well, it doesn't matter what her name was, but her name was Molly Burke. She's a great friend of mine now. But her description had said, I am a YouTuber and I happen to be blind. And for whatever reason, that struck a chord with me of, well, I don't happen to be blind. I identify. It's part of my identity. So I used to go around saying, my name is Lachi, she, her, and I'm a black woman with cornrows. And, you know, I don't just happen to be blind. I identify. Blindness is part of who I am. It is part of all of my successes and my wins and my woes. And it's part of my identity. And then my manager was like, yeah, that intro is taking too long. So shorten that. So I just started to say, I identify as blind. So I say it during this episode. And, you know, they air the episode of Historian's Take on the Black Blind Musician trope. I come back later to check it out. And of course, there's a bunch of comments under it. They say, oh, wow, I love the story of, you know, Ray Charles and how they get into it. But as I kept digging through the comments, I started seeing people go, you can't identify as blind. Blindness is just a medical condition. Or do you read Braille or not? Or I don't want people to start thinking that trans blindness is a thing. Or blindness is not just an identity you can claim. And people were upset, like angry. And I did the one cardinal rule you should not do. And I went into the comments and I started responding to people like an innocent little Dorothy. And I realized that never to do that again. But, you know, it was rough. It was rough in those comments. And I thought like, wow, this is like a big platform. And I have normies, for the lack of a better term, randos in the comments talking about disability identity, asking questions. So then I got another big gig. I think it was Google, something to do with Google. So Google came through and they were like, let's do this big advertisement. So I did the ads with Google and they put them online. And, you know, the ads went out nationally, but they also put it online on their page. Once again, I had introduced myself as, my name is Lachi and I identify as blind. Comments again. The thing blew up. It went over the top. Then I get another gig with Google to do their Super Bowl commercial, to do one of their social media Super Bowl commercials. That had millions, I mean millions of clicks and thousands of comments. And they were like, you can't identify as blind. So I realized that I was affecting the everyday sort of pop culture, public fodder and discussion with what I was saying just by my intro. And that's when I realized, what if I lean all the way in and really try to penetrate pop culture with the discussion of disability identity, with this idea that you can be proud of your identity as it pertains to disability. And so, of course, that is how I came with the title, I Identify as Blind.
You don't shy away from difficult questions in the book, Lachi. Was this something that you learned in the research and the writing process that maybe surprised you?
You know, I learned a lot about myself, first and foremost. But one of the things I learned is, you know, in researching for this book, again, this is a celebratory book. This book is a celebration. This book is a deep dive into identity and pride and love and joy and power. Right? The power that we can face and find when we look at our disability as an asset. So one of the things that I've learned, however, in writing this book is in everything from doing my research and meeting with tons of folks through the community or doing a bunch of these discussions and interviews with folks, I learned that I have a very different look on disability than a lot of folks out there do. And whether it is someone who ascribes to be a part of the disability community, or if they're just part of the disabled population, which is different, by the way. The disability community is someone who ascribes to disability from a place of empowerment, generally who recognize the social model of disability, generally who love to come together and figure out what our new language is, or things, generally a place of empowerment. Whereas the disabled population, that's essentially one who is disabled for the sake of statistical purposes, right? So you're just, I am disabled, as opposed to I ascribe or subscribe to the disability community, right? And I've been finding that a lot of folks really have, you know, a negative look on their disability, even if they are out here being a disability rights warrior, right? And I find that there's a bit of a, I don't want to say, it's slightly oxymoronic, right? It's like, you know, we are fighting for justice and we want to be seen as equal and have equitable access for this thing that we don't love about ourselves. And so I found that to be quite paradoxical. And I wanted to understand why that is. And I think it is because a lot of folks are still trapped, as even though they may not want to believe it, there's a lot of folks still trapped in the medical model of disability or the charitable model of disability. And the medical model of disability essentially is saying that disability is framed through looking at it as a medical condition alone. So let's say, for instance, John, the wheelchair user, can't get into the party that has a staircase outside until he fixes his legs. You can get in, John, as long as you fix your legs. So it's up to you. Your legs being broken is the reason why you can't get into this party, right? That's the medical model. It's saying the cure is the hero. Or the charity model, where, you know, if Chad, the buff guy, carries John up the stairs, then John can get into the party. But what the charity model does is it makes everyone think, oh, poor Johnny, and looks at him as a burden or an object of pity, and it rewards Chad, Mr. Muscular Chad, he becomes the hero. But at no point is John the hero. At no point does John get to have dignity and pride going into this party. And so the social model is looking at society and saying, hey, society, you guys are the reason why some things are disabling. Society is what imposes these barriers, right? If that party was on the ground floor, or if moved to another venue, or if there's an elevator, or any kind of consideration to make sure as many people can get into this party, whether they're a wheelchair user, whether they are deaf, whether they are blind, whether they're just tired, whether they're pregnant, whether they, et cetera, make this party as inclusive as possible. That is the social model. It kind of puts the onus on society as a whole to make society not as, to make society as barrier-free as possible. I, Lachi, like to go even a step further to what I call cultural model. And honestly, this is not something that I'm coining. It's already out there. And what social what cultural model is the celebration of the cultural aspects and contributions that we can deliver, whether it's art, music, perspective, voice, word, that come through the different minds and bodies that we are brought into this world with, our different ways of processing thoughts and emotions that we come into this world with. Say, for instance, deaf culture. With deaf culture here in America, I know in the UK, you guys have BSL. Here in America, we have American Sign Language, ASL, and that's a way that deaf folks communicate. But there's also something called BASL, which is Black American Sign Language. And it is a different vernacular with some slang, with some different ways that folks move their hands. This is all deaf culture. This is something that, because you are deaf, this is part of your culture. You don't see it as something that's limiting. You recognize it as, because you are deaf, this is what you have. So let me put it to you like this. So for me, I am blind. I have ADHD, OCD, and I'm diagnosed OCD and general anxiety. And my ADHD, while it is, if unaccommodated, it is very difficult to handle. But when I am accommodated, my ADHD helps power my many bright ideas, my millions of bright ideas, quite frankly. My OCD, when accommodated, helps me carry out all those millions of bright ideas. My general anxiety, when it is accommodated, allows me to be empathetic and excited. And my blindness, when accommodated, right, with screen readers and magnifiers and my glam canes and a companion or whatever, when accommodated, my blindness offers me focus, drive, determination, and ability to just like memorize where everything is, right? If I'm accommodated, then I get to experience the assets that my disability brings. I get to revel in the cultural aspects, the cultural model of disability. And so really what I get to celebrate is the fact that I'm accommodated. And so I believe that what really disability is saying, give me my accommodations so I can celebrate this different aspect of my life. And that's really what I learned while writing this book.
For some people listening, the idea of expressing themselves through art or just being creative really may seem like a challenge or something that might not always be accessible to them. Where would you say is a good place to start?
First and foremost, art is love, right? Creating is love. Creating something is an act of love. So you have to find within yourself and in your soul, what is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to communicate? So that's step one, honestly. Like, what is it in your heart that you want to say and communicate? The art that you use to communicate it comes second, whether it is music, whether it is, again, storytelling, the pen, poetry, whether it is expressing yourself through your style and your fashion. I express myself heavily through my glam canes. And what I'm saying is, you know, I'm trying to celebrate my disability. I want visibility for my disability. I'm saying I'm worth it. My whole me is worth it. That's what my glam canes are saying. And those are those sort of bejeweled canes I wear with all my outfits. But I think that we find that thing we want to say when we're young. We find it when we're a kid. And sometimes we dull it as we get older, but it rears its head back. So for instance, when I was 8 years old, I didn't see myself on the TV, on the radio, on the YouTubes, right? I didn't see myself out there. I didn't see a strong woman of color with a disability, a strong woman of color who was blind out there really show. I didn't see any women who were blind or had a disability. Frankly, I didn't see anybody. Very few folks I saw out there as just a celebrated artist, a celebrated entertainer, a celebrated musician. And so because I didn't see myself out there, I didn't know where to start because I couldn't put it on my vision board. You know how you're supposed to have a vision board where you're like, this is the car I'm going to have. This is the house. I'm going to have a Cadillac and a mansion. And you put it on your vision board. Well, I didn't have a me to put at the top of my vision board for my goals to become this artist and entertainer. And was I going to be the first? Right? And the answer is, well, you can be. Everybody's going to be the first of them. Right? You know, I was always like, you know, as a child of African immigrants, right? There was a lot of be seen but not heard, right? And so I always felt like my voice should be heard. I always felt that I should be seen. And I always felt like I should be celebrated. But I didn't know how to do that. I was always told to be quiet and stay in my place, stay in my lane. And then I was always told that if I celebrate myself, I'm being prideful or boastful, and that's wrong. I have come now to learn that it's not wrong to celebrate yourself, that it's not wrong to have pride. It's not good to harm others in doing so. Don't put others down to lift yourself up, but lift yourself up. I also found that it is good for me to be heard, that I have a lot to say and that it's important. And the funny thing is that through my art, what I'm saying is, so at the beginning, to answer your question, I was saying, you have to find what your message is, and your message comes through your childhood. Well, what I found was that I wanted to be heard and I thought it was good to celebrate myself. And so that is what my message is. My message is go be heard and go celebrate yourself. My message isn't like, hear me and here's my message, or here, celebrate this message I have. The actual message is to go be heard and to go celebrate yourself. And so that's what I do through my music, through my storytelling, through my fashion, through my writing, through my humor. And the reason I'm kind of smiling is there's a lot of things that are difficult in life, right? Being a woman is difficult. Being a person of color is difficult. Maybe being queer is difficult. Being trans is difficult. But I feel like the most difficult is disability. So let me deal with like the actual most difficult one. And I say that is because the thing that makes things difficult is pathology, right? So people will pathologize you for being a woman. People will pathologize you for being older. People might pathologize you for being too young. People will pathologize you for being overweight or underweight or being a person of color or being queer. So instead of just being like, stop pathologizing me, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to celebrate my disability so that your pathologizing has no place here. Those bullets don't penetrate, right? And so I use disability culture in my art to showcase you should be heard and that you should be celebrated. So let people hear about your disability and go ahead and celebrate your disability.
I Identify as Blind, a brazen celebration of disability culture, identity and power by Latchy will be released on all formats on January the 27th, 2026. But for now, Latchy, thanks very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome. Thanks.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.